Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge your presence with us today. Thank you for your presence with us all week long, especially with kids and their families. And Lord, we do pray that you would draw many kids to yourself, that they might know you all life long and know the joy of following you together with others. And Lord, we're grateful to do that today. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, that you would call us to yourself and speak to us about shining your light everywhere in Jesus' name. For it's in the name of that we do pray. Amen. So there's a wealthy man who left three employees in charge of his estate, and he left town. He had gave one of them $3 billion. $3 billion. And he said, I'm going to be away for a while. I want you to do something with this. And then when I get back, we'll see how you did. Another one he gave $1 million. And he said, take this million. You know, small change for me. But he said, take this million. He said, I want you to invest it, do something with it. He said, let's see what you got when I get back. And then the third guy, I don't know, or maybe a gal, he says, here's $500,000, small change. $500,000. He says, I want you to invest this, and then when I come back, then you tell me what you did with it. Well, he went on a long journey. He came back. I don't know if he took a cruise, whatever it was. He went off, and he came back, and he said, okay, employee number one. He said, how'd we do? How'd you do with that $3 billion? He said, oh, he said, you'll be pleased to know, sir, $6 billion is yours. He says, good investing. Way to go, bud. He says, we're going to give you a promotion. And then with the next one, he said, well, so how do you do that million? He said, you'll be pleased to know that you got $2 million in the bank now, sir. I put it to good work. You got over $2 million now sitting in the bank. He says, oh, we're going to bump you up too. Maybe you take the first guy's position. And then he went to the third guy. And he said, so how'd we do with that $500,000 that I gave to you? He said, oh, sir. He said, you'll be so pleased. He said, I didn't want to lose a penny. He said, I buried it under the covers. He said, under my mattress. He said, here it is, sir. Everything that you gave me to invest. And he said, you're fired. He said, I told you to invest that $500,000. And he said, you're going to have to find another line of work. Well, you know that story from a parable of Jesus, a parable that Jesus told. And Jesus may well have applied that story, told that story as he walked around and as he came to the church in Philadelphia, a church that had huge opportunity to invest the resources that they had. And if Jesus was to come our way and knock on Valley View's door, I wonder if he would look at the resources that we have and say, you know what? I've given you an awful lot. He said, I'm away for a while, but won't you invest until I come back? Well, just like the other six churches that Jesus is examining here. He steps down off his throne. He walks among the churches. He has some direction. He has some reviewing. And then he has a promise that he has made. And with this one, he begins again with a royal review. Now, this is not just any examiner. This is the King of the universe, the one that has just been described as sitting upon the throne of God. A few weeks ago, Memorial Day, I guess it was more than a few weeks ago now, I went down to Towson, which is a pretty good size city in northern Maryland. Went down there with the Twin Rose Band. Some of you know that I play the trumpet. And so we went there and we lined up. We waited over an hour to get into our spot in the parade. It was a big parade. A lot of bands, a lot of floats, you name it. It was Memorial Day. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. And so our usual thing is to play a bit and then take a little break and then play a little bit and take a little break. And then all of a sudden we got about halfway through the parade and someone in the back said, "Okay, let's play. This is the review stand." And so we pulled up our instruments and the drummer started drumming and we played our hearts out. Well, why? Because it was the review stand. And as we marched by, they said, "This is the Twin Rose Band from Wrightsville, Pennsylvania," you know, and they said something nice about us. I don't know what. And I don't know if they were handing out awards or not, but we wanted to do well for the review. And as Jesus walks among the churches, he's doing a review. They've come to the review stand. Jesus is looking at what's going on, and this is not just any reviewer. This is the King of the universe. This is the one that has seven flames coming from the throne and seven candlesticks, one held by each of the churches. He says, "Okay, let's see how you're doing with your candlestick. Are you holding the flame high? Because I'm gonna evaluate how you're doing at this review stand, and I have some advice for you." And as the Lord comes to us today, our number one place of review is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, sometimes we review, well, sadly, each other. Sometimes we review our church and we have an annual meeting and all of those kind of things. And sometimes we look at one another across the community. But you know, in the end, the one whose review matters is our Lord's. He's looking at us. He is evaluating us because it's his keys that unlock, he says here, David's kingdom. Now think about that and go way back to what we've learned, what we know about the kingdom of God. You remember how it began way at the beginning of time when the king created a world for himself and for his glory. He created creatures, which include us. And then we rebelled against the king. We thought we knew more than he did. And so he kicked us out of the Garden of Eden and sent us off on our own. But he said, "You know, I'm going to send a redeemer. I'm going to send someone. I'm going to make it right in time." And then he picked a family that was headed by Abraham. And Abraham and his family were to represent him to the world, the king to the world. But they didn't do so well, and so he picked a son of Abraham by the name of David, who had a city that Jesus is referring to here. And David and the people in that city were to display the glory of God to the world, but they didn't do so well. They became worse than the cities and the nations around them, and so a son of David came. His name was Jesus, the Anointed One, and he came. And he gave his life for us. And then, when he rose from the dead, it says that he gave gifts to us. And one of those gifts was to include us, those of us who are not Jews, to include us in the kingdom. And he said, before he left, "I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. What you open, I will open. What you shut, I will shut." In other words, as you welcome people, you will have the opportunity to welcome people in as you display my glory to the world so that others will expand this kingdom. And it will happen all over the world until the kingdom is everywhere. And then I will return and I will make everything right. And so, He calls us to be part of this kingdom. And he looks at how we're doing, and the standard that he has is, are we faithful to him as the king? God opened a door. He said no one could shut. When you think about Valley View, I hear some of the stories from Paul McCleary and some of the others. He said, you know what? He said God was doing something that we couldn't stop. They thought they were going to start a church over in, I think it was Spring Grove. But there was a cluster of people over here, and he said in those early days, he says, we couldn't stop it. People came together, and God did something in this area because his kingdom is continuing on, and God, in his story, wanted his kingdom to expand. It seems in this area, and he knows, like he did in Philadelphia, what has gone on. And so you look at our part of God's kingdom, this beautiful piece of land that God has given us, these beautiful buildings that are all paid off, and ministries, and to children and to youth and to adults, and people that have come to Jesus, and people that have been baptized here, and people that have gone out from here for various reasons, some of them to serve the Lord in other communities, some around the world. He says to Philadelphia, he says, you got little strength, but he said, you have kept my word. And I look at Valley View and I say, you know what, that's what we've done. We're not a mega church. we don't have an orchestra here on Sunday morning. We're wonderful for those who lead. Autumn and Logan do a wonderful job this morning. We don't have an endowment. $1 million sitting in the bank, but we got enough to get by, and we are consistent. He says to Philadelphia, he says, you haven't denied my name. He said, you have stuck with the stuff. You've been faithful in the, you've held my banner high in the ups and downs. And he says, you have been faithful to me. And Valley View has been faithful to the Lord. You've not denied his name. And so the Lord said to them, he said, I got a reward for you. He said, I'm giving you a forever key to the city of David. Now for centuries, God's people, the children of Abraham, said, well, this is for us. It's not for everyone. And the Lord said, wait a minute. When I established this kingdom, he said, it was for everybody. You were to display my glory to the world. And he said, I've invited the whole world in. And everybody is part of this. Everybody who acknowledges me. And he said, one day, those who say it's just for them, whether they be Jews or some other group of religious people, are going to bow at your feet and say, okay, it wasn't about your ethnicity. It wasn't about your privilege. It wasn't about your education. It wasn't about your advantages. It was all about grace. Grace that came in Jesus and in Jesus alone. You know, sometimes when someone does something wonderful for an area, he said they give them a key to the city. And Jesus said, I'm giving you a key to the city. Not because you're so wonderful, not because you deserve it. He said, but I gave my life for you. I died for you, and I've invited you into my kingdom, and now you're my sons and your daughters. And he said, you're part of my kingdom. He said, in Philadelphia, the old Philadelphia and the new Philadelphia, he says, my kingdom is there. I'm building my city, my kingdom there. He said, there in Helam, there in York County, there in Lancaster County. He said, you're part of my kingdom. He said, I have welcomed you in. I've given you the keys to my city. And he said, behind the walls of my city, he said, I am protecting you because it's my city. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you in my kingdom, he said, are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. It's not because of us, it's because of Him. It's because Jesus is living His life in and through us. And He promises to protect us. So what is He talking about? Could it be here that He's talking about He's going to protect us from the tribulation? Tribulation period, that 7-year period before Jesus comes back? Some would say that. Or could it be, as others would say, that He will protect us through the tribulation period? Or could it be that we don't know, but we do know that the Lord promises to protect us? That's that old doctrine we've talked about, I think, with probably every one of the 7 churches. The perseverance of the saints. The Lord promises to take care of us no matter what happens to us until we see Him face to face. And so we've had a few tough years. A few tough years at Valley View. A few tough years everywhere around, in the church. But the Lord has taken care of us, and it's not because we're so tough, though He tells us to persevere. It's not because we got so much to offer. No, we're a bunch of sinners forgiven by Jesus. But it's because of grace of God, it's because of Jesus that is alive in us and through us, because He has promised to take care of us, and He has, and He will, and He is. The Lord reviews us. He is the ultimate standard. He said, if you'll be faithful to Me, He said, I'll give you the key to My city, and I'll protect you until My kingdom comes. But He says, here's what I've got for you to do. He said, I've got some directions for you. He said, number one, He said, I want you to hold on to My city until I come back. He said, I've given you all kinds of gifts, all kinds of resources. He said, I have given you open doors. Open doors in the old Philadelphia, open doors in the new Philadelphia to expand His kingdom there. Open doors to York County, to Lancaster County, to South Central Pennsylvania, to Pennsylvania, to His kingdom at work in our country and in other countries throughout the world. So how do we hold on to the city? Well, it means that we develop the city, the kingdom within the city, that we keep it clean. That means that we keep it holy, not these American cities or whatever, but ourselves as His representatives, as the kingdom of God displaying His kingdom throughout the world and throughout the area. And so we expand His kingdom, we strengthen it until He comes. And that means that we use our gifts and our abilities and our time and our resources for His city. Philadelphia had some things to offer. They were resilient. They were consistent. They were loving. Philadelphia was named after 2 brothers who loved each other. A couple of rulers, I believe. That's what they became known for. Maybe the whole area is known for love. We think of the city of Philadelphia as a city of brotherly love, even today, the new Philadelphia. I don't know if it is or it isn't. They got good cheesesteak, so there's got to be some love there. But they had some love. But perhaps that was part of the identity of God's people, representing God's kingdom within that city. They were also known for being very resilient people. They'd experienced an earthquake. They were known for being tough, and perhaps the Lord was saying, okay, for being consistent. And He was saying, okay, I want you to hold on to the city with those gifts that I have given to you. How do we hold on to our part of the city until He comes back? Look at the buildings that we have. Again, all paid off. I look at the grounds that we have. I had a pastor not far from here, and he said, if I wish we had the grounds that your church has. He says, that is amazing. Takes a lot to take care of it, but you know what? Great opportunity that God has given to us. Our children's wedding, redone during COVID. A great opportunity that God has given to us. Our gym that was used the other night, and our sanctuary that we're renovating, you know, it's been like 37 years. Okay, it's time to do some, to put some new color on. These great opportunities of God, and they're rooted, youth group that started up, and our community groups, and the Arabic Christian church that meets here on Saturday night. And we could go on and on. God has given us a lot. And the Lord says, okay, use your gifts. Use what I've given you. Use your resources to advance my kingdom, to further the city that I have made you part of. And if we hold the city, he says, I'm going to give you a crown. There was a hill in the city where there was a stadium. And the stadium to the residents looked like a crown. He said, you know what? That's what you're going to have someday. He said, if you're faithful, he said, in the end, he said, you are the ones who will be wearing the crowns. And there was another thing that the city was known for. The city had had this earthquake, and one thing that had stayed standing miraculously, it seemed, to the residents were some pillars in a temple. And the Lord says to the people in Philadelphia, he said, you know what? You're going to be the pillars that remain standing. He said, I don't care what you face. He said, you are going to stand. You will be the pillars in my temple. You will stand forever, no matter what earthquakes come your way. And so he says, listen. Seventh time he says, listen to what I'm saying to the churches. Philadelphia had a great opportunity in a city that, in a kingdom that would last forever. Sardis was a city that was dying because it looked great on the outside but had problems on the inside. Thyatira had welcomed Jezebel, that wicked queen. Pergamum was one that was looking in two directions instead of just to the Lord. Smyrna was one that was wealthy on the outside, was facing all kinds of problems, but it was wealthy in Christ. And then Ephesus was one who had lost her first love and was focusing in all different directions. That he who has ears, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The Lord says, I have opened up a door that is wide open that cannot be shut. And the Lord has done that at Valley View. He's done some wonderful things here over the last 37 years. And we are part of his larger story, which is furthering his kingdom. We can't stop what God is doing as Jesus continues to build his kingdom in this area and around the world. So let's join the story. Let's continue on with all that we have and all that we are, so that we might have the joy of reigning with Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're grateful for your kingdom that is at work among us. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to be fully invested in all that you have entrusted us with. May your kingdom come. Your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.